Okay, so the topic we're going to discuss tonight for a few minutes is whether or not you can daven from an iPhone or any electronic device, right? Could you daven from an iPad? And honestly, I remember, like, you know, back in the day, before there was the iPhone and the whatever smartphones, right? You had the Palm Pilot, and you always had that, like, really, like, savvy tech guy, you know, 20 years ago. When everyone else was only had this other option, he figured out how to daven from the, you know, the exactly. They had the apps even back then. So it's been a shot that's been around for a while, but it's definitely transitioned as the devices have gotten more complicated. In some ways, it actually has made, I think, the Shiloh better, and in some ways, it's made the Shiloh worse, actually, as the technology has evolved. So I also found out just tonight, I guess the plug, we're going to touch on some of it, but it's still worth reading because I'm not really going through everything that he says. But Rabbi Ari Leibowitz does have a piece on this topic in the Yadrim, so we're going to discuss the same topic as well. We'll see what I overlap with him. But I did think that before we get into the main part of the sugi, which is from our we learned tonight, it's actually to start with what Ari also mentions, is that what are the benefits? Like, why in the world would we want to daven from an iPhone? Meaning, there has to be some reason other than, like, you know, the fear of, you know, disassociating ourselves for a moment from the phone. Like, why would we want to daven from the iPhone? So he actually mentions a bunch of this. I'm going to take this part from his stuff, but the rest of it is really just from our Omid. So, number one, the apps are much better than they used to be, and that, unlike your Siddur, it will tailor, it'll take the date, it'll know the Hebrew calendar date, it'll know what you're supposed to say. You should not miss Yalav Yovo ever, or any other insertions that are new into your tool, because it's going to automatically put them in a way that doesn't make them seem like they are always there. It's going to put them right in front of you, so that you should not miss any of the insertions that would cause you to have to repeat your Shemoneh Esrei. That's one thing. In fact, I know sometimes if you bench, and it's like you're benching, and it is Rosh Chodesh that night, and you're having your dinner, it'll ask you when you started your meal, because as a shaylah, you know, if you started your meal, you know, before or after the, you know, what's it called, nightfall, so whether or not you say Yal V'yavo, and on this flip side, when you finish, you know, if we're finishing Rosh Chodesh, it's the same shaylah, so they know the halacha, so they'll stick into your benching the Yal V'yavo, depending on whether you tell it you started your meal at a certain time or not. So there is some halachic, let's say, benefit to using the app. You know, it's illuminated, so you can see the words better when you're in certain situations that are not well lit. You can zoom in if someone has troubles with vision; they can zoom in on the words. Some people say that, you know, when you're looking at the siddur, you're looking at a whole page of davening in front of you, but when you look in the app, you're actually only looking at a few words at a time, which helps you focus on specifically what you're looking at the moment, and that may enhance your kavana than just looking at a whole page. It's lighter, so if someone has hurt their back, you know, and they're carrying a heavy siddur, I heard some complaints that these new siddurim are heavier than the old siddurim. Okay, so the phone is even lighter than that, so, you know, phones are another option. And if you daven an unusual nusach, so if you don't daven Ashkenaz, which is the most common, let's say, nusach in this shul at least, and you daven either Edut Mizrach or Nusach Hari or some other nusach, and you find yourself in a place which might not have your siddur, so the siddur app will always have your nusach available to you. So that's another reason why you might want to use the iPhone. So we're going to discuss whether or not those benefits outweigh, let's say, the halachic issues. Just to put it out there, you cannot use your iPhone on Shabbos for davening. Now that's like, okay, let's just, you know, you can't, for davening, you cannot use your iPhone on Shabbos. Okay. So the topic really comes, you know, we'll get to other issues like distractions or other things in a second, but the thing that we're focusing on from our Amud is the Gemara on Brachos. The Gemara on Brachos, which we learned tonight, says, Tanur Banan, Lo Yachez Adam Tfilin Biyado, V'Sefer Torah Bezro, V'Yispalo. A person cannot hold Tfilin in his hand, not wear, but hold Tfilin in his hand, or hold a Sefer Torah in his arm, and daven. Okay? We'll see why is that.
You mean the Sefer Torah?
The Sefer Torah, you can't hold it and daven your Shemoneh Esrei. Don't hold the Sefer Torah and daven Shemoneh Esrei at the same time. Cannot, yeah. Not allowed to do it. And now, first of all, you might say the reason why, well, let's say this. What does Rashi say? I don't know if you mentioned Rashi. Rashi says, the reason is because you're not fully focused on your tefillah. She'ein da'at mishevah salah b'tefillah, because you're constantly thinking about the Sefer Torah and the tefillin that shouldn't fall. Now, you could have said the reason why you don't want to hold your Sefer Torah or your tefillin in your hands and daven is because if it does fall, if it actually fell, it would be bizayon. So you would never put the Sefer Torah in a situation where you might in some way compromise its safety. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the reason is, even though it's a very small chance or whatever it is, the problem is that it some way distracts from your kavana. The Gemara then continues and says, Amar Shmuel, four things, sakin ma'os ka'ara v'kikar, harila kiyotzi behem. Four things. So a knife, money, a bowl which is full, which has stuff inside of it, and a kikar lechem, a piece of bread, those four things you also cannot go ahead and carry and hold with you while you daven. Rashi explains, the knife, if you drop it, you're worried it's going to fall and hurt you. Your money, if you drop it, you're worried it's going to scatter, you're going to lose it. Your bowl, you're just worried to balance it every moment that it shouldn't just spill. And the bread, if it falls to the ground, right, 5-second rule is not going to be applicable, you're going to lose, the bread's going to be disgusting, you're not going to eat it anymore. So each of those things, you're distracted to make sure, you're concerned that it shouldn't fall, so your kavanah is not 100% in your davening, just like Rashi explains by the Sefer Torah and by the tefillin. Now, the example, so Rashi looks at each of these as a reason for what all these examples that Shmuel gave and the Sefer Torah and the tefillin that preceded it is all because of a concern that you have that it might fall. That's some overarching concern you have. Now the question is, why is that a problem? So what? And it takes away from your tefillah. So this is like the only chakira which we'll offer tonight, and we'll get back to at some point, is the following. Is the pagam with holding something that you might be concerned will drop, is that a problem in your tefillah? Meaning, you want to have this level, optimal level of kavanah in your tefillah, and when you're holding something that you're going to drop, you have somewhat less of a kavanah in your davening, so it's a pagam in your davening. Or, when you're multitasking by davening, while you also are diverting some percentage of your attention to something else at the same time, that is standing before the king and saying, while I talk to you, hold on a second, I'm also able to text at the same time. So in some way it's a pagam in the mispalel. How do you look before the king while you are trying to multitask and not be providing all of your attention to the task at hand? Because at least some percentage of your attention is diverted to something else. So in that way, is it a pagam in your tefillah, or is it a pagam in the mispalel? So we'll get to what would be the nafkamina perhaps, is when these items are quoted in the Gemara, is it specifically these four things or anything? So the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah says that the fact that Shmuel says these four particular items, which all have a unique concern that you're going to drop them, is why it's only those things. Anything which maybe is similar to it, but that you are overly concerned it's going to fall because it will lead to a hefsed mama and the loss of money, it'll destroy the item, it's fragile, that's something you can't hold in davening. But anything else, if you just want to hold, you just want to hold the sefer, not a problem. You want to just hold, you're holding your, again, it has to be something that's not going to be very valuable, not something that's going to be damaged, but if you're holding a piece of paper or a key, okay, a key is something else, not a concern. They quote another opinion, Yesh Meforshim, that anything that you hold is usher to davening, anything. So if it's specifically these four things, and these are examples, but really anything where even to the slightest extent worry that you're losing a little bit of your kavana. Now, what is the reason why anything might be usher? So here, the Prima Gadim explains on the Shulchan Aruch, who quotes us, that you cannot hold anything else because anything that you hold in front of the Melech Malchem Lachem isn't appropriate. Now, granted, these are much more inappropriate because it's going to distract more of your attention. But essentially, anything you're holding isn't the way to come before the king and ask your needs and daven your Shema Esrei. So that is the overriding concern. So if it's a pagam in your tefillah, well, if you're holding something which is not going to take away from your kavana, that's the first opinion in Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. It's only these four type of things and things which are similar to it. But if we're worried about pagam and the mispala, who's standing in front of Hashem, and to hold anything isn't really right, and these are just more prime examples, then it's a begam in the mispalel. Okay, that would be one nafkamina. The Bach explains that according to his Mishnah Mefarshim, it's actually really important because there actually are two levels according to the Mishnah Mefarshim in what you cannot and cannot hold during davening. If you're holding something like the four examples that Shmuel gives in the Gemara or the Tefillin or the Sefer Torah, which is a big problem if you drop them and much more of your attention is devoted to them, then you actually have to be chozer mispal. You have to daven the second time. So if you're holding something which could distract you, or is in some way distracting you during your davening, you have to daven the second time, according to the Bach. You are not yotzir tefillah. If you held something which does not distract from your davening, but it's just some other item, extraneous to your tefillah, so he says, l'chatchil, you shouldn't do it, but if you did it, you're davening, you're yotzir your tefillah. Now, not everyone agrees with this Bach. The Taz says, I don't agree that you automatically have to repeat your Shema Esrei, but he does say that if you actually did get distracted, so if you were holding a phone and it actually did ring, or if you're holding something and it did give you a notification and you started to wander and start thinking about something else, he says, then you absolutely do have to change, you have to dive in the second time. And even though we say that normally if a person gets the end of Shema Esrei, lahalacha, because we don't have the same kavanah that they used to have generations before, lahalacha, we don't paskin that if you're not holding anything, you just simply are davening, and you get the end of your shemester, and you're like, I really didn't have kavanah. You don't daven again, because we assume you won't have kavanah the second time either. We're just not attuned enough to our davening to have really great kavanah all the way through, all the time. Meaning, you missed the shmakalina, but next time you'll miss something else if you go do it. So we don't paskin and repeat it. But for this, they say, you do repeat your shmester, right? If you actually lost kavanah because something you were holding, because that's the type of thing you could remove, that impediment. That second time davening is not the same as your first time. If you were holding something that actually, if you held an item that is fragile or that might fall, or your tefillin during your davening, and you actually didn't have kavanah, you should daven the second time. Even the Taz would agree, because you actually lost kavanah. And it's different than the general circumstance, which we all don't quite fully have kavanah davening, because this was something that was actively taking away your kavanah. So daven the second time without the thing actively taking away your kavanah, you're definitely going to have derech kavanah the second time around. And then you would actually have to repeat your Shema Esrei. So again, that would only apply to something which actually takes away your kavanah, not an extraneous item, like the Yesh Mefarshim say. So what about a siddur? Right? So if we say that you really aren't supposed to hold anything in your davening, so why do we hold a siddur in our davening? We shouldn't hold anything, right? Any item. So what source might help us understand whether we can hold the siddur or not? Obviously, we do hold the siddur, so we should be able to. So that is the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says that back in the days, they used to not just hold their Lulav and Esrog, and pick it up once in the morning, make a bracha during Hallel, and use it again. But they actually held it all day long. And the Gemara quotes Amar Le Mar Bar Amemar, the Ravashi. He said, Mar Bar Amemar said, Amemar, my father, Abba, Sali Kamatzli Bay. He would say Shemona Esrei holding his Lulav and Esrog. So the Gemara right away jumps on and says, how can that be? Our Gemara in Brachos says you can't hold anything in your davening, especially something you might be concerned will drop. So how can you hold his Lulav and Esrog during Shemona Esrei? So the Gemara says, oh, there's a difference. Those other things in the Gemara over there, including Tefillin and the Sefer Torah, there's no mitzvah at that moment to hold those items. There's no mitzvah of the day to be holding the Sefer Torah or the Tefillin. But the Lulav and Esrog, it's a mitzvah to hold. And since that's the case, you're holding it, you will not be tarid. You will not be distracted by it. Now Rashi says, because of your love for the mitzvah, Rashi says, it's not so difficult for you. I mean, if you're holding a random item, that's going to take away some of your kavana. But something which is a mitzvah, you're so beloved to you, you're going to not be bothered by holding it. Or like, it's not going to be a burden for you to carry it. So the Ritva, though, asks on Rashi, wait a second. If it's a mitzvah, and it's a very expensive lulav and esrog, I would say, if anything, you're more distracted by it. Like, if it's a mitzvah of the day, and you so love, I'm like constantly thinking about, and so beloved, I so love my lulav and esrog. So certainly when I'm davening, I'm going to think about it. Isn't that going to all the more so take away from my kavanah and tefillah? So the Ritva says, it's got to be a totally different pshat. And here's the pshat of the Ritva. He says, the reason why you're allowed to hold a lulav and esrog because of the mitzvah is as follows. He says, Dekeva de mitzvah shaitahi, it's a mitzvah of that moment, of that day. It is what you carry around and what you would carry around all the time. Afo pishim mefan libo aleksas, he will, yes, some percentage of his mind will be on that Luv and Esrog as he's davening. But Ein Mefana Libo Levatala, that distraction isn't a waste in your Shemasi, but rather Ki Efsher Shechiv of Mitzvazu. The sole fact is you're so beloved to you. You're thinking about the Kedusha of what you're holding at that moment, and it's a mitzvah of this moment. It will help you only enhance your tefillah. So what we learn from this ritva is anything which comes to enhance your tefillah, you can hold. So a siddur, which is what they quote, is something which will help enhance your tefillah. You're not going to be worried about losing the place. You're not going to be worried about what the words are. Sometimes it can help you with the translation when you're missing something, an understanding. Since it comes to enhance your davening, then you can use it. Then you're allowed to use it. Do you want? Okay. So practically, and we're just going to wrap up with the practical halacha right now. Coming out of the Gemara and Brachos, right? So something which distracts from your davening is a problem. Something which is not distracting in the sense that it's expensive, it will be destroyed if it drops. So in Tchumen, there's a Dr. Avram Lifshitz who wrote an article on this topic, Krach Lamed, if you want to look it up. And he says, well, then an electronic siddur is expensive. If it drops, it's likely to break, or at least there's a chance it will break. Even if you have a nice case, right?
Otterbox.
So yeah. So I heard. I was thinking about that. So if you imagine, yes, you have a really good case, right? So you know, and in our experience, if you have a really good case, right? If you know that I've dropped it, it's dropped before and it's been fine, right?
You still freak out every time.
If I tell you, please right now, drop it. You might do it once. I tell you again and again. Are you completely never worried about it? Or is it like, yeah, you're still worried about it, but you're not, if it happens, it's unlikely to break. The percentage has gotten smaller, but the potential cost versus the risk still doesn't cancel out any distraction at all. Mm-hmm. So I suspect it's still relevant, but I hear the fancy case issue. So because it will cause a hefsed mamon rav, he quotes, therefore, it's unlike a regular siddur. Granted, this is coming to help your tefillah, but this, unlike a siddur, you don't want to drop either. Believe me, no one wants to drop their siddur. But because this is so expensive, and because it is so, you know, more fragile than something else, it distracts you much more, and you will cause remember the palm pods we started talking about, those were like $100. Your iPhone now is $1,000 or more. And therefore, the concern is totally different than a siddur, well beyond, and therefore he says it's also. So if you know the editor of the Tchumen is Rav Yisrael Rosen, and he actually has Ha'aros at the end of this article and completely disagrees. So the conclusion of the article is that it's usher to daven from a smartphone because it's unlike a siddur. It's way more expensive and has way, even though there's benefits, has kavana distractions that far outweigh the benefits. So Rav Rosen says that what will be the answer to that question, right? We're trying to say that, yes, it's a siddur. You're essentially holding a siddur. But this siddur, this is not a regular siddur. This is a $1,000 siddur, which can crack. That siddur is $10, and it doesn't crack. So what's the answer? How's Rav Rosen sort of argue with this? So he says, what's the major difference? We don't find the halacha that anyone says that you're allowed to hold the siddur as long as it doesn't exceed a certain value. If you're holding a family heirloom siddur, you can't daven from that one because if it does fall, you're way more concerned that it may be damaged. And no one says that if you go to like the YU archives and the Gosman Library and come up with like one of the old siddurim, that you can't daven from that and hold it because if that drops, I mean, you're holding an invaluable object. No one says that, halacha. So he says, we don't distinguish between a siddur that just may be more expensive. As long as it's something that you will enhance your tefillah, it is acting as your siddur at the moment, and it doesn't matter how expensive it is. What that practically means is that and the same thing is true, but he says, by a lulav, lulav and esrog. The lulav and esrog is very expensive, and sometimes exceedingly expensive, but yet, because it enhances your kavana, we don't care about the excessive concern of you dropping it.
He never mentions anything about a notification.
Yeah, but doesn't give you a notification.
Okay, so the in the end, and we'll stop here, but the psak he says is you can use it. Everyone agrees that anything which is distracting you with pinging in front of you, where you actually will lose kavana, this is a concern that you might lose kavana. You're putting some attention to it, but where you're actually just taking away your kavana, that's definitely a problem. So everyone who talks about this topic says you absolutely have to turn off notifications, you have to silence your phone. And really what we should do is put in airplane mode. And that is the number one thing you have to do. And let me end with just one more mockum, which I think is really, even if you are not going to daven from your phone. So practically speaking, I think a lot of people say you can daven. If you're in the, maybe it should be, some people say it's Maris Ayin, but in B'dievet situations, you're in the airport, you're in an airplane, you're in a place, in a simcha where there's not siddurim available, you're in a shul, doesn't have your nusach. Okay, so you can use your phone with these caveats, turn off, put into airplane mode, etc., etc. But the one thing that I would add, even if you're not diving for your phone, everyone has, I would say, I'm going on a limb here, and everyone has a smartphone pretty much in their pocket when they go into diving, or some smart device. And the Shulchan Aruch says in Sadi Gimel, Yishashachas kodem shiakum lispalo kadei shechavim li belamakom vishachas achar tefilo. We know the famous, the Chassim Rishonim would come an hour before and stay an hour afterwards. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, well, we don't, that's for the Chassim Rishonim. It's quoted the Shulchan Aruch without saying Chassim Rishonim. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, that's just the Chassidim Rishonim. But Lishar Am, for us, Dai B'Sha Mu'etas, a moment, he says, Shishah Kodem Yishatchil, before you start your davening, Shehu Kadeh Hiluch Shmona Tvachim, which is the amount of time it takes to walk eight Tvachim, was an Am and a half, right? How long does it take to walk an Am? One step. So we're talking about like a moment. Do something to prepare yourself before your davening. That only takes a moment. And I would suggest that the one thing you can do that is hikon l'chas Hashem l'kecha. You have something in your pocket, which even if you're not davening from, can ding, can buzz, or even in your mind, you might think it will ding and buzz, and therefore it might distract you, might distract other people, or forgetting that, you have the opportunity to, before you start your davening, flip it into airplane mode, tell Siri to turn into airplane mode, whatever it is, and then you have taken a moment's time to prepare yourself for davening, just like the Shulchan Halacha says. And that is an excellent hara, I would say. I heard, you know, that even if you're not davening from it, but if you want to do something that takes a moment and fulfills the halacha for davening, preparing yourself, turn your phone to airplane mode for a second and put it away. Okay?